How to Have Confidence in Prayer, Part 5. Or How to Be Confident in Prayer to God. Praying Through the Bible, message number 429 in this long, glorious series. And turn in your Bibles to 1 John chapter 3. I have read the entire chapter at the beginning of this series, but we're going to pick it up at verse 18. My little children, let us not love in word, neither in tongue, but in deed and in truth, as we have already learned in this mini series within a series, that one of the ways that you can have confidence in your prayer life is to make sure that you're born again, make sure that you're saved. And once you're saved, then you will have the love of God shed abroad in your heart, and you will love your fellow man. And now, wait a minute. That includes first your fellow family members. For we have too many hypocrites in the church who love everybody else in the street. They love everybody at the schoolhouse. They love everybody in the church. They love everybody on the job. But they don't love the people they live with every day. And I have repeated this often. It is an old saying, but it is a true saying. Charity must begin at home. And by the way, love is not necessarily a feeling or an emotion. It is a choice that God gives you the power to choose to do. That you have to love people oftentimes in your family who are very unlovable. And yes, that's right. But see, what most of us do is we run away from the family instead of loving the family that we have. But you will find out that it's better to love the ones you're with, because those out there in the world who will tell you everything you want to hear do not necessarily love you. They just want to use you. But your family knows you, and they still love you. So, wait a minute. Don't go running out here talking about you love everybody in the world, but you don't love your own family members. You don't love your spouse. You don't love your parents. You don't love your own children. You hypocrite. You phony and you fake. And you leave your children behind and let them suffer while you go take care of, you leave your six children behind and let them suffer God knows what. And you go and take care of six other children that don't belong to you, and you just love on them so much, but you don't love your own children. You're a liar, your feet ain't made, and your heart pumps peanut butter. And I don't care if you like it. That's not how it's supposed to be. Love your own family first, and then you love everybody else. So, my little children, let us not love in word, neither in tongue, but in deed and in truth. And thereby, or rather, and hereby, we know that we are of the truth. How do we know that we're of the truth? If we have love in our hearts for our fellow brothers and sisters in Christ and our fellow man, starting with our fellow man and fellow woman in the family. And don't bow your head yet. It's not time to pray. We just got started. And hereby we know that we are of the truth and shall assure our hearts before him For if our heart condemn us, God is greater than our heart and knoweth all things. You cannot live your life based upon your fleeting, changing feelings and emotions. And that's what's wrong with a whole lot of you people today. And I dare say, and I know that I'm going to get in a whole lot of trouble for it, but that's all right. It's all right. I live in trouble. It's okay. Like David said, I am for peace, but when I speak, they are for war. Some of you women, you're controlled by your feelings and your emotions. You're controlled by the devil and what he puts in your heart and mind. You're not controlled by the Word of God. You don't live your life based upon the Word of God and biblical facts. It depends on the happenings, your emotions, and how you feel about something or somebody at that moment. And some of you, you change about 2,500 times in a day. And you want your husband, your poor husband, to deal with all of that every day. That's not fair to him. He loves you. And by the way, wives, if you're married, evidently the man loves you, because he could have married many other women. So get over yourself. I don't know if he loves me anymore. He married you. What are you talking about? He married you. I mean, for a man to marry a woman in this day and time, believe you me, there's got to be some love somewhere. But some of you are very unlovable. You change like the weather. You're stormy in the morning, sunshiny after you wash your face and drink your coffee, then stormy again and over cloudy and cold and cold and cold, and then you're warm and you need to get a hold of yourself and get control of yourself. And this goes for men and women. God to help you. I haven't even got into the message yet. You all sit down, because I'm going to be here a while. Just go ahead and have a seat. God bless you. Go ahead on and get in your seats. And because God has already got me started. And I'm talking to men and women. Some of you men are fickle and feeble-minded and up and down. Your wife don't even know how to deal with you. She don't know how to take you. You one way, 1 hour, the next 4 or 5 hours, things don't go your way. You all bent out of shape, and there's no stability in you. Some of you metrosexuals, you effeminate little men, some of you who talk about you got a female side. Boy, you ain't got no female side. Have you lost your righteous mind? Stop talking stupid talk. I want to tap into my female side. You got to be kidding me. You're just as fickle as your wife is, or some of these other women are, and feeble. And you get a situation like that's a very unstable situation. Here's my picture of a husband. The waves are coming in to hit the shore, and he's the board. He's the shore with, you know, how they build the little boarded areas, and the water comes in and it's coming in all kinds of ways, but it stops when it hits that wood. That's how you ought to be, husband. You ought to be stable. You ought to be the same. You ought to be loving all of the time, but firm, and love is not always letting your wife and children have their way. But have some consistency about you. You all up and down. And people, some of you need to just grow up and become mature in Christ. And just do things because they're right to do by the grace of God. And by the way, nobody, I don't know where you got that everything must feel good if you do it for the Lord. That is not biblical. That's not. I don't know where you got that from. Everything must, you must feel good about it. Some of you women are that way. If you don't get a thrill out of it anymore, you ready to go do something else. That's why some of y'all are going shopping all the time before God shuts you down, because you get a little feeling out of that. And you want to have that feeling of getting something new again. And hereby we know that we are of the truth and shall assure our hearts before him. For if our heart condemn us, God is greater than our heart and knoweth all things. Believe in God. Believe in God's word. Believe what God says about you. God gave me a thought yesterday. And it's kind of comical when you think about it, but I don't know if it was the Lord or not. Let me back up on that. It might have just been me. But I said to myself this thought. I say this all the time, this part. I stand amazed that God loves me. But the thought hit me in recent days. I've been thinking about this. But I stand shocked and amazed that God loves you. I stand amazed that God loves me. But I'm equally at least amazed that God loves you. and that's what came to my mind. I don't know if that's good or bad, but it came to my mind. But the point is, when you become a child of God, all that does not matter. You need to accept that God loves you, whether you feel lovable or not. And by the grace of God, you need to love others. See, it has no difference. Because the truth of the matter is, some of us, the older we get, we look at people and we say, what? These people are so unlovable. They're hard to love. Okay? I don't even know how God loves them. Well, whether you know how God loves them or not, you know that God loves them because he says so, and God is love. You're not love, but God is. And so two things need to happen, and this is hard for many people. Number one, you need to understand that God loves you, and you need to accept that based upon the word of God, not your feelings and your emotions. And then secondly, you, by the grace of God through Christ, by the power of the Holy Spirit, must love other people, starting with your unlovable family members. Amen. Starting with your unlovable family members. I told you a long time ago that one of my psychology teachers, he did not play. He was a male psychology teacher. He was one of the best teachers. You know why? Because he took us through the book, the whole textbook, right on down the line. If you didn't read that book, buddy, you were not going to pass that class. And he's probably the only teacher that I, professor I've ever had, who made us read the entire book. And we really got an education in that class. But one of the things he repeated over and over again, he said, the job of parents is to make your children lovable. Lovable. You know, and that's a serious deal, because there are many parents who don't train their children. And then they get married, the children get married, and they are hellions from hell. And you got to deal with that as a child of God. Verse 21. Beloved, if our heart condemn us not, then have we confidence toward God. And whatsoever we ask, we receive of him, because we keep his commandments. Boom, there you go. And whatsoever we ask, when we pray, you want confidence in prayer? we receive of him with confidence, with boldness. Boom, here you go. Because we keep his commandments. And what's wrong with the church today is right here. Bam. Everybody wants something for God. They wonder why they're not getting it. They're asking amiss. And they don't obey God. The overall lesson throughout the Bible, yes, number one, you get saved by grace through believing in Christ. But number two, buddy, you must learn obedience. Yes, even through the things you suffer. But obedience must be learned by the people of God. Oh, you can rest assured on that, Jack. From Genesis to Revelation. Well, you know, my prosperity gospel doctrine teaches that if, you know, I'm a child of the king. I'm a king's kid. I'm the head and not the tail. I'm just blessed going and coming and all this right here. No. See, all this is just a lie that you have foolishly believed. Buddy, if you're truly born again, you're going to be about, God's going to help you to be about being obedient to him. You're going to learn that. You mark my words. You're going to learn that if you're a child of God, if you're born again. It's going to be about that for the rest of your life. If you love me, Jesus Christ said, keep my commandments. And Jesus, by the way, in case you have forgotten, is God. God in the flesh. You understand? God in the flesh. The same God who gave the Ten Commandments. Yes. Mm-hmm. You're going to get with that if you're born again. If you're saved, you're going to get with the obedience program. God is very merciful and very loving, and depending on where you're coming from, he may take a while to get with you on it, but he's going to get with you. If you don't do it on your own, thank God for the few. I know of a few who, because of how they were raised or something, they got with the program of obedience right from the get-go. Thank God for those few. Most of us, we got to learn it the hard way. But you will. You will be dealt with about it. Mm-hmm. Well, yes. And if you don't accept the chastisement and the rebuke and change, this first part in verse 22 is not happening for you. And whatsoever we ask, we receive of him, because we keep his commandments. What? Wait a minute. And do those things that are pleasing in his sight. Not only keeping the commandments, but doing those things that are pleasing in his sight. Such as, how about this? Having a good attitude towards your spouse. Having a good attitude towards your children. What? Wait, don't bow your head yet. It's not time to pray. Having a good attitude towards your parents. This is pleasing in the sight of God. Choosing to love when you feel like hating. Loving unlovable people because God loves you. Oh, yes, you're not looking at me. Don't bow your head right now. We're going to pray in a minute, I promise. Just hang in there. You're going to get with this program if you're born again. Now, if you're not born again, you're not a child of God. God calls you a bastard. I didn't call you a bastard. That's what God says in his word. You're a bastard. You don't belong to him. Your father is the devil. If this sermon is not convicting you and messing with you a little bit, you're probably not born again. You have no clue. You just hang around for a little while longer. I'm going to lead you to Jesus. Okay? I want to repeat verse 22 because this is where the rubber meets the road. And whatsoever we ask, we receive of him. because we keep his commandments and do those things that are pleasing in his sight. All of this talking about you praying about this and you shacking up. And look at me deeply into my eyes and see if I'm playing with you. You shacking up with Bo Peep, shacking up with Sylvia, got a girlfriend on the side, a side piece. You, the pastor, and the pastor's wife swinging on Ashley Madison and have created your own Ashley Madison in the church. Swinging with the deacons and the trustees, your lie, your feet ain't made, and your heart pumps peanut butter. You're a hypocrite. Some of you have never been born again. Some of you know you're wrong. God's been dealing with you about it. Some of you are saved and you're wrong and you're doing it because you know why? Hubris. You got more money now. You got the big fine house on Pork Chop Hill. You got the big fine car. God has blessed you. And now look at you, like David, like so many others down through the years, hubris takes over. Some of you never heard of the word hubris. You don't know what it means. It means that you think you're so big time that you can do what you want. Because you have a little power now. You have a little prestige now. You don't want to you dilly-dally with the little sins anymore. You want to do something crazy and off the wall, like swinging. Got side pieces all over town buying apartments for women so that you can have sex with them and all such foolishness. And you can't get a prayer above your head, much less to the ceiling. You know why? Because of this verse. And whatsoever we ask, we receive of him, because we keep his commandments and do those things that are pleasing in his sight. Some of you wives haven't had a prayer answered in 30 years. You know why? Because you have chosen to be full of hell and the devil against your husband. You have chosen to be rebellious and stubborn and disobedient and have a nasty attitude. You've been so evil towards your husband, you don't even know why, when it started and why you've been doing it. Other than the devil led you to do it and your flesh accepted. Some of you husbands have not gotten a prayer answered over the past 30 years. You know why? Because you hate your wife instead of love your wife. You hate your wife and you just use her for what you can get out of her, like her job. You lying devil. You lying devil. You hateful devil. Using, pimping your wife out on a job when you should be taking care of your wife and children and letting her stay home to take care of the children and have her own business, and whatever money she gets, she keeps it. And no, you're using her money. Some of you men wouldn't have a house, and that's why you're afraid to say anything to her, because you wouldn't have a house if it wasn't for your wife and her good credit. Oh, don't bat your eyes. Don't bow your head. Look at me straight ahead. Just keep your head straight ahead. Keep looking straight ahead. You're walking around here thinking you all that, driving your little Beamer and your little Mercedes. If it wasn't for your wife, you wouldn't have that. You'd be on a tricycle. You'd be on a bike. That's why you're afraid to say anything to her, because you don't want her to leave you, because she'll take everything from you. You hate your wife, and you got a girlfriend on the side. You have a Sylvia. You know you do. A side piece. But you lie to her and you tell her you love her and you tell everybody how much, how wonderful she is, and her, she's your sweet thing and good thing and all that. You're lying, hypocrite. You're a lie. Your feet ain't made and your heart pumps peanut butter. You need to repent of that foolishness. And if there ever was a time to repent, sir, huh? That time is now. That time is right now. I'm not even going to get to my sermon today. I can see that right now. And this is his commandment. This is his commandment. This is the beginning of it all. That we should believe on the name of his son, Jesus Christ. Have you done that? That's good. And love one another as he gave us commandment. Have you done that too? See, once you get saved, you're going to want to love other people. I've said this in our earlier services. As you know, we have two services every morning. Every morning, 7 days a week. The standing between the living and the dead service. And I have said several times that many people in the church, the reason why the church is under punishment, the church is under chastisement, whether you want to accept it or not, there's no other way to explain God shutting down the church. God did not shut down the church during the punishment and the rebuke of the homosexuals with AIDS. But not only has God shut down the church, God has allowed people who are in the church to die. I would say that God killed them, but you couldn't handle that. Don't you get mad with me. That's all in God's hands. But many people in the church have died. And don't be shocked that God will allow his people to die because of sin, evil, and foolishness. Don't you get mad with me. Just read your Bible. See, when was the last time you read your Bible? In a very real sense. I'm talking about all the way through. Some of you have the mental ability. You have the mental talent to read the whole Bible in a few days. You got that ability. And some of you can almost memorize it. You have that talent from God. And you need to use it. See, this is what's wrong with the church today. That's why the church is shut down or should be shut down. And don't be trying to blame the governor and the president. That's all political lies. That's all it is. You're just getting caught up in politics. You're not doing it because you're not opening it because you love the Lord. Because the church has already been open. The church has been open for years and still is open and it still is essential and has always been. It is now and always will be. But the church does not have the meat of a building. We've never been about the building. Especially with the wonderful technology that God has wrought. Is absolutely wonderful. On a Monday, we had thousands over, probably altogether over 6,000 people. But just on our Facebook was over 3,000. That's on a Monday. And we don't claim to be big time. So what I'm saying to you is here's two things. Two powerful, important, simple commandments that Jesus gave the church and we have not obeyed them. Jesus gave us the commandment to love him first and to love everybody. The great commandment. And then he gave us the great commission. And we in the church have failed God on those two points. In other words, see, if you don't love people, you're not going to go get people and witness to people. If you love money and materialism and whoring around in the church and messing with somebody's wife and messing with somebody's husband more than Jesus and loving Jesus and reaching loving people and reaching them with the gospel. then that's the reason why the church is in trouble today. We won't even obey the simple main commandments that he gave us. The great commandment and the great commission. Don't get mad at me and go away. Don't bow your head yet. It's not time to pray. Just keep looking straight at me. I'm trying to help you get your heart right with the Lord and with the family, your family, and stop being a hypocrite family, the Adams family at home and the Brady Bunch at church. You're hateful as the devil at home, but you want to try to make everybody in the church feel yes. You know where that comes from? That comes from the prosperity gospel too. Everything got to be hunky-dory and wonderful and sweet when everybody knows it's not. And it's showing up now in the plague. And this is his commandment, that we should believe on the name of his Son Jesus Christ and love one another as he gave us commandment. And he that keepeth his commandments dwelleth in him, and he in him. And hereby we know that he abideth in us by the Spirit which he hath given us. Dear friend, that's the word of God on it. You know why you don't have confidence to pray and to get your prayers? Some of you don't have any confidence at all in your prayers. That's why you don't pray. You know why? Because you're disobedient as the devil. You know that you're living in sin. You know God's not going to hear your prayers. You got better sense than that. You know God's not going to hear your prayers. You know it. That's why you don't have any boldness in coming to the throne. That's why some people don't pray, because they are in rebellion against God. They're in rebellion against the authority over them, case in point, wife to husband, children to parents. That's why they don't pray without ceasing. That's why they don't pray. They don't want to pray. Because as soon as they start praying, God is going to begin to deal with the sin in their lives. Their pride, their stubbornness, their disrespectful attitude, their hatred, their bitterness, their resentment, their lies. And that may be one of the first sins that God brings up to them when they try to pray. Their lies. Lying. If you're not willing to confess your sin of lying and dishonesty and all of your other sins, you know that prayer, trying to pray, is futile, don't you? That's why you don't have any confidence. That's why you don't pray. Because you don't have any confidence to pray. Why? Because you're disobedient. You're stubborn. You're proud. You're rebellious. You have a nasty attitude, and you want to keep it. You nurse that nasty attitude. You feel it. That nasty attitude makes you feel good. You think you're doing something by having that nasty attitude, and all you're trying to do, like the devil, is manipulate people with your nasty attitude. What you need to be doing is praying and asking God to cast the devil out of you, and to cast that nasty attitude out of you as well. Always remember, now don't talk about loving the pastor and everybody at the church and the pastor's wife and everybody else is so wonderful. Everybody else's children are wonderful, but you hate your own family. You despise your own family. Don't forget what the old folks used to say. Charity begins at home. You want to love the brethren and the sistren? Love the brethren and the sistren at your house. Let's stand for prayer. Holy Father God, we pray in the holy name of the Lord Jesus Christ. I praise you, Holy Father God, for your love, your mercy, and your grace. I thank you for your Holy Ghost and your Holy Word together. For Lord, you gave me that message impromptu, extemporaneous, without notes, just your Holy Word. And Lord, you know, I did not think about those things until I started preaching, until I got behind your sacred desk. But Lord, that's how you do. In the power of your grace, in the power of your Holy Spirit. And Lord, you can take a nobody and use him mightily to speak to the hearts by the power of your Holy Ghost of men and women, boys and girls, and proclaim the gospel to them. And so, Lord, help everybody under the sound of my voice to understand fully that they can forget about praying to you and getting their prayers answered, or having confidence in prayer until they learn to love everybody and have that love to start at home and do away with the hypocrisy and the phoniness. And Holy Father God, help them to realize that they will never have confidence in their prayers to you, never, 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 until they learn to obey you and put you first. For Lord Jesus, you've made it very clear to us, if you love me, keep my commandments. And Lord, help everybody under the sound of my voice who names the name of Christ. Help us to humble ourselves and to pray and to seek your face and to turn from our wicked ways and to repent and get back to you, our first love. In Jesus Christ's name, Lord, I do pray now. Grant me your grace and your strength and your anointing to preach your holy gospel to those who are lost. Open blinded eyes, unstop deaf ears, and save their souls. Even today, we pray for 3 million souls to be saved. I have 100% confidence that you will hear that prayer and answer it. I have no doubt about it, because I know that from your word, you're not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. And so, Lord, I know that you're going to do everything you can to have that prayer request come to pass. It may not come to pass in my lifetime. It may have already come to pass. I don't know. For I have been praying that for many, many years. And Lord, I pray that the power of your Holy Ghost would burn in the hearts of people and help them to see and understand the gospel like I did that night, December the 19th, 1979. I give you the glory and praise. In Jesus Christ's name we pray and forsake. Amen. You may be seated. Now, beloved, if you are with us today and you have never trusted in the Lord Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, your first prayer needs to be what we call the sinner's prayer. And I that's a play on words. Don't get bent out of shape about that. This is a prayer meeting. This is a prayer service. I'm preaching on prayer. And so your first prayer needs to be the sinner's prayer. But first, you need to understand some things. Please understand that you are a sinner, and just as I am. We all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. And you need to understand that you have broken God's laws, as I have, as the Pope has, as the Dalai Lama has, as Joel Osteen has. We all are in the same boat of sin. We all have sinned against God. We're all on the same ship that's sinking. The Bible says in Romans 3:23, for all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. You say, well, not me. I have not sinned. I have been perfect. And yes, there are people who believe that. Well, have you ever told a lie before? A little white lie, or a little black lie, or a little red lie, a little yellow lie, they're all big lies in God's sight. Have you ever stolen anything before? We're not talking about anything big. The proverbial cookie out of the cookie jar, nobody saw you, but God saw you. When your parents told you not to get it. You stole somebody's cake out of the refrigerator, and then you lied on your children about it. You stole some change from your father's drawer so you could buy some candy. You stole some dollar bills out of your mother's purse, thinking that they were not going to miss it, to get some gas so that you can go do your dirt. Have you ever stolen anything before? These are all rhetorical questions. You can answer them to yourself. You know what the answer is. Have you ever coveted after somebody else has? You want it, what other people have? Have you ever lusted in your heart after people and things? You are not content with what you have. Have you ever disobeyed and dishonored your parents with a nasty, bad attitude, a disrespectful attitude? You might have answered, yes, sir, but you did it with a nasty attitude and spirit. Have you ever taken God's name in vain? Now, I just named the five of the Ten Commandments. If you have committed those sins, you have broken five of the Ten Commandments. And even if you just disobeyed in one area, the Bible says, God says, that you have broken the entire Ten Commandments in His sight. So we're all sinners, aren't we? That includes you. So that has been established. Second, accept the fact that there is a penalty, there is a punishment for sin. Now, if you're already saved, don't just sit there and do nothing. You pray for the people who are not saved, and you get on your little device and invite people that you know are not saved. And I'm including, and I'm talking about people who are even in the church. They're religious. I believe that just as many people are in the church lost and on their way to hell as out in the world, out in the club. Because some of them go from the club to the church anyway on Sundays. Okay, so I'm talking about them. You know, people who go to church every Sunday, they sing in the choir, they work in the church, they love the church, but they're lost and on their way to hell. And they know it and you know it. You need to invite them right now so that they can hear the gospel and be saved. Second, accept the fact that there is a penalty, there is a punishment for sin. Always, always, always. There was punishment in your house growing up for sin. There's punishment when you leave the house in government for sin. And there's punishment in eternity for sin. The Bible states in Romans 6:23, for the wages of sin is death. In other words, the payment for our sin is death. That is the punishment. And that is a serious punishment. In other words, you are on death row. You're waiting to die. And you don't know when. You don't know what your last meal will be. We're all waiting to die. We're all on death row because we are sinners by nature and by choice. And so your body will go to a funeral home one day and to a grave. your soul will go to either heaven or hell, depending on what you do with Jesus in this life, whether you believe on him or whether you reject him. Third, accept the fact that you are on the road to hell right now if you have never really believed in the Lord Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior in a true saving sense. We're not just talking about believing with your head, but believing with your heart and receiving him as your Savior and Lord. Jesus Christ said in Matthew 10:28, by the way, in one of his many sermons on hell, because Jesus Christ preached more on hell than anybody in the Bible. He said in Matthew 10:28 in one of his sermons, "And fear not them which kill the body, but are not able to kill the soul, but rather fear him which is able to destroy both soul and body in hell." Jesus Christ, when he described hell in one sermon, he said, "It is a place of weeping and wailing and gnashing of teeth." In another sermon, he said, "In hell, their worm dieth not, but and the fire is not quenched." So hell is a place of torment. Hell is a real place. Hell is bad news. And Jesus preached on this bad news to warn you not to go to hell, because he was going to suffer, bleed and die on the cross to save you from hell so that you can go to heaven. He died on the cross for our sins, was buried and rose on the third day. That's why Jesus died. That's why he preached on it so much. He wanted to make sure you understand what the dangers are if you don't believe in him and appreciate his sacrifice on the cross for you. So Jesus Christ, yes, he preached the bad news. He did not sugarcoat it. But he also preached the good news. In fact, the words that I'm getting ready to share with you are the most loving, most wonderful words in the history of the world. Jesus Christ said in John 3:16, "For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life." God so loved the world, that means that God loves you. If you're in this world, God loves you. No matter how unlovable you are, he loves you. You just have to accept that. That he gave his only begotten Son. He loved you so much, he gave up his only begotten Son, Jesus Christ, to suffer, to bleed, and to die on the cross for your sins. Yes, your fornication, your adultery, your lies, your stealing, your robbing, your bad attitude, your lust, your disrespect of your parents, your disobedience and dishonoring of your parents, your taking God's name in vain. Jesus died for all of your sins, was buried and rose on the third day by the power of God. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever, the word whosoever means anybody at any time, red, yellow, black, or white, we're all precious in his sight, believeth, the word believeth means to have faith in, to trust in him. He was speaking of himself, Jesus Christ. And if you believe in him, if you believe in Jesus Christ, Jesus Christ said you should not perish, but have everlasting life. You have Jesus' word on it. He's telling you what to do to get saved. And notice he didn't say anything about church membership. He didn't say anything about you have to be in a church to get saved. He didn't say anything about how much money you need to give. He didn't say anything about giving money at all. He didn't say anything about what kind of work you need to do for God and for the church. He's already done the work. And he wants you to simply believe in him. Trust in him. Have faith in him. So all you have to do, dear friend, is just believe in your heart. Yes, it is very simple. Yes, it is very easy for us and simple for us, but it was not simple and easy for God and for Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ paid the ultimate price to make it easy for us to get saved from hell and saved to heaven. Just believe in the Lord Jesus Christ that he suffered, he bled, and he died on the cross for your sins. Was buried and rose from the dead by the power of God. That is the good news. That is the gospel. He died for you so that you can live forever with him. So pray and ask him to come into your heart today to save your soul, and he will save you. Romans chapter 10, verse 9 and 13 says that if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus, and shalt believe in thine heart that God hath raised him from the dead, you shalt be saved. For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. Saved from what? Saved from hell. Saved to what? Saved to heaven to be with God and Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ paid it all, as the hymn writer wrote. He paid it all for you and for me. And so, dear friend, here's your chance. Believe in the Lord Jesus Christ with all of your heart. Believe in your heart that he suffered, he bled, and he died on the cross for your sins. Was buried and rose on the third day. And call on his name in prayer. And tell him that you believe in him. That you believe that he died for your sins. Was buried and rose again by the power of God. And pray and ask him to save your soul. And he will. So you believe in your heart. And you may follow me in prayer, phrase by phrase, in what is called the sinner's prayer, that which I told you about earlier. Pray with me the sinner's prayer, believing in your heart in Jesus Christ. Follow me phrase by phrase and mean it from your heart. Holy Father God, I acknowledge that I am a sinner. And I admit that I have sinned against you. Yes, Lord, I committed those sins that were mentioned earlier. And I am guilty. And I understand that I deserve to go to hell, just like a criminal deserves to go to jail. For Jesus Christ's sake, please forgive me of all of my sins. As I now believe with all of my heart in your Holy Son, Jesus Christ, who suffered, bled, and died on the cross for my sins, was buried and rose on the third day by your power. Lord Jesus Christ, please come into my heart and into my spirit and save my soul. Please fill me with your Holy Spirit and help me to repent of all of my sins and turn from all of my evil ways and to follow you, Lord Jesus Christ, in the new life. For it is in your name I do pray. Amen. Now, dear friend of mine, if you just believed in your heart in the Lord Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, and you pray that prayer with me and you meant it from your heart, believing in your heart that Jesus Christ died for your sins, was buried, and rose on the third day. I declare to you that based upon the Word of God that we read already and we already shared, that you are now saved from hell and you're on your way to heaven by the grace of God through the death, burial, and resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ. Welcome to the family of God, dear friends. Congratulations on believing in the Lord Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior. You have done the most important thing in life, truly. For more information to help you grow in your newfound faith in Christ, please go to GospelLightSociety.com and read my book titled, What to Do After You Enter Through the Door. Jesus Christ said in John 10:9, I am the door. By me, if any man enter in, he shall be saved and shall go in and out and find pasture. Until next time, my beloved, God loves you, we love you, and may God bless you real good, is my prayer.